Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP Section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. Welcome to the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business podcast series. In this episode, we're going to talk with a few CPA financial planners about how to approach your tax clients to offer planning services, as well as how to approach a new client meeting. We've got Scott and Chris with us here today. And guys, you both do tax and financial planning, where many of our panelists are just focusing on the planning or investment part. Could you tell us why you decided to stay in the tax area as well and how that developed from that into the financial planning area? Chris, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, so the tax component is really the core of our practice. We're probably 70% tax compliance and then 30% consulting. And compliance only adds so much value to the relationship. You know, my goal is to create value for people. You can't do that just by pumping out tax returns. So I like to tell my clients that I take a more humanistic approach to tax planning, in that I'm going to look at every aspect of your life, which because taxes impact every aspect of your life. So usually we have these meetings at around quarterly tax time. So when we're doing projections or estimates to get the quarterly estimates taken care of, it's a good time to kind of review the client's tax situation, but also ask if, you know, has anything changed in their life? Have they had kids? Have they been married or divorced? And how does that impact their taxes? How does that impact their goals in life? What adjustments do we need to make to the plan to help, you know, get you back on track for any of these changes that we've had throughout the year?
Mm-hmm. Scott, you've decided that tax was something you wanted to keep. You've thought about getting rid of tax at times, but then you always go back to it and say it's part of the deal. Could you explain why you continue to go back and say tax is really a good part of PFP practice?
I think it's because we're masochists, and tax is a necessary evil. But in all seriousness, I think Chris alluded to it in his practice. The tax component is so intertwined with all your other planning, whether it be the estate planning, the investment management, the insurance, everything financial related, the tax piece of that becomes really important. And so we view that it's really hard to consult with our clients doing comprehensive planning or wealth management if you don't consider that tax component. And for our clients, they kind of look at us as the financial quarterback, and to the extent they can come to one place, and we always tell our client, you prioritize what your most valuable asset is. And most of our clients, their most valuable asset is their time, because that's the thing that they're shortest on. So to the extent they can come to one place and we can help them consult on their taxes and consult on all their other financial planning and advisory services, it provides a huge relief to them, but it's also just a big value add to the services we offer. And to Chris's point, with the tax practice, there's multiple points throughout the year where you have additional touch points with your clients. And we view that's a big opportunity too, because when we're working with them, whether it be completing the compliance of the tax return or doing the quarterly taxes, it gives us a chance to then reach out to them and find out what's going on in other sectors and other areas of their life, and also make sure that we're on point with some of the other financial plans, or that we're, you know, handling the investments, which really differentiates us from our competitors on both sides. So on the tax side, if we were doing just the taxes, you know, we might be meeting with them once a year and talking to them a few times a year, remind them of the quarterly taxes. If we're doing just the investment advisory work, again, we're not touching them as frequently, nor do we have the depth of the relationship. So that's why we view the tax component becomes so important. And, you know, lastly, when you're looking at a tax return, that's basically the roadmap to their financial life. And from a tax return, there's so many things you can find out what's going on. You can find out charitable intent, where their interests are from a charitable standpoint. You know about their dependents. You know, obviously, where they work. You know, from the investment management standpoint, what they're doing with their money. Are they sitting on too much cash? And so that tax return just becomes a really valuable component, and that's the reason those services we think are so important to integrate into the financial planning process.
Yeah, I think you both made a good point of that, that the clients are willing to open up an awful lot to you through the tax practice that helps you in the financial planning arena. I've had a lot of clients recently myself where they're asking for a tax preparer, or do we have someone on staff who can be a tax preparer? So it's possible we may go back to that in maybe the next person that runs it, but not me. In each of you guys, you probably developed, I know, Chris, in your case, you don't do the wealth management piece. You have a wealth management division. And Scott, you do both sides of things. But how do you each go about taking a tax preparer client and making them a financial planning client? Scott, let's start with you. Do you have an example of a client that you've taken who was just a tax preparation client that became a good financial planning client for you?
Yeah, Ted, and I think there's multiple examples because there's probably majority of our clients that may start as a tax client, become a financial planning client, and we're to the point now where we don't even take just tax clients alone. And when we go through the interview process, clients understand the importance. But I think when you come into a client meeting, financial planning is different than taxes. Taxes, you generally have black and white answers, and it's you know, you're right or you're wrong, and you can go through the process. With financial planning, the only right answer is what's right for the client, and that's where I really enjoy the financial planning part in kind of working with clients and converting them across, because what it really comes down to, it's not what you know, it's what you understand. What are your client's objectives and how much I care? So it's not what I know, it's how I care. So I go into a client meeting, and every client meeting, you kind of have a set agenda, but the beginning of the meeting is just I have a blank sheet of paper where I just want to find out what's going on with the client, you know, what's keeping them up at night, what are the current goals and objectives, what's happened since the last time we talked, and you kind of broaden your relationship. So it's not focusing on a product, it's not focusing on a report, it's just getting to know them and understand where they are. And I think with any client meeting, when you go in and you take a tax client, they might be coming in to review a tax return, but it's real easy just to broaden that out and just talk to them a little bit more about what's going on with them and what are some of their goals and objectives, how are their kids doing, you know, how are you coming towards college funding, you know, do you have an estate plan? And so you just kind of broaden your relationship and kind of ask probing questions, and don't go in with a set agenda or set mindset. Ask the probing question and then listen, and then probe deeper and let them kind of create their own agenda. And that's the best way we found to take a straight tax client and convert them into a financial planning client. And again, it's using a different skill set, but listening and getting understanding the objectives, and then letting them kind of spill and create the agenda. And then they get excited, and you're not selling a new service to them. You're actually showing that this is how we do it, and this is part of the process. And it's been pretty successful in converting most of our tax clients to financial planning clients.
So, Scott, just a quick question on that. You in a tax return, of course, you're gathering information. Now these folks are opening up to you about their kids, their grandkids, their goals, their aspirations. How do you remember all that from one client to the next?
You've got to take some good notes, and you know, CRM systems are great for putting some of those things together. And I think whenever you have something, you can build that in a client file. It also lets us kind of work between staff people, so everybody knows that Scott had a conversation or had a meeting and this is what occurred. So then if somebody else has a telephone conversation with them later, they know what's going on with the kids, or they know some of those things. So it's a matter of having a system in place where you can really get to, you know, document what's going on with the client, but document what's happening with the client, because, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of different clients, and you just have to be kind of detailed in the process, and it takes a little more work. But to me, it's versus doing just a tax return, which is more of a commodity, this is where you're changing people's lives and you're making, dealing, like Ted said, their deepest, darkest secrets or their biggest fears, or am I going to be able to retire? If so, when? You know, what happened with the market? How am I going to react to this? Was I set up in advance to deal with these type of things? Those are the things that you need to kind of work with the clients. But having that system where you can go back to notes and have a system where you can refer back to what's going on with a client and looking at the history and brush up on that before every client meeting is very helpful.
Okay. Chris, I'm going to have you do that in the opposite order that Scott just did, because since we're on this topic right now and you've got a different department for the wealth management piece from the tax piece, how do you share that information? And then after answering that, if you could go into how do you then take a tax client and bring them over to that wealth management division?
Right. So to share information with the with RSM Wealth Management, which is a completely separate legal entity, we do have to get a form 7216 filled out, signed by the client. That gives us the authority to share that information. Best if you build that into your engagement letter ahead of time so that you don't have to do it, after the fact, but it's good to have it on file. So I've had a lot of success converting tax clients to wealth management clients, or even just financial planning clients within the tax side, specifically around business owners. I've dealt with a lot of business owners that have started successful companies. They're growing, doubling in size every year, and in order to attract new talent, they want to roll out retirement plans, 401k plans, what have you. And so our RSM Wealth Management team can help them with those plans. I don't establish those plans, but what Wealth Management does, they also custody the assets. They'll do any of the management there. If they want to offer insurance to their employees, our insurance company can deal with that too. Other of our clients have had liquidity events and have become ultra high net worth individuals. And so the question after that liquidity event, even before, is what now or what next? And so they have a lot of money that they don't know what to do with. It hasn't really been diversified over their lifetime. It's been consolidated in one asset, which is their business. And now we need to diversify that asset. And our wealth management team is pretty good at doing that. So those post liquidity clients are good referrals to our wealth management team. And then we still retain them as tax clients as well. Again, most of these guys still have estate planning issues. They're still in taxable estates. So we get to do a lot of estate planning, gift planning, philanthropic planning for these guys as well.
That sounds great. I appreciate you mentioning Section 7216 because another part of our series will be on compliance, and it's a big part of our presentation in the 2 days. To wrap this up, guys, would you be able to give us two or three baby steps to focus on for somebody that just has a tax practice right now and either they're going to work with a wealth manager, let's say a separate business in Chris's case, or their own firm in Scott's case, or still a separate entity, but it's still Scott just wearing a different hat. Why don't we start with Scott? Could you give us two or three baby steps as how does somebody begin this process to become a financial planner?
Sure, Ted. I think the first thing you need to look at is, what's my capacity and what's my ability to perform these services? So if you're somebody like Chris that has a large firm and you've got different areas, it's easy to consult with clients and have joint meetings, et cetera. If you're a smaller practice and you're going to hold on to your tax practice, I think you want to be careful and not bite off too much. So I think you determine your core competencies and your capacity, and then you kind of pick and choose the areas that you're most passionate about. So I think once you determine, how much time can I allocate to this advisory service, then I'm going to look at where I'm most passionate about. And I'm really going to focus on those areas for clients first. And, it may not be, you can pick where you're going, but I think a lot of clients, the natural progression is, a financial plan or becoming a financial consultant for the client and kind of just organizing their affairs. And then you can figure out ways to help them with the investment stuff or the estate stuff, you know, just a referral network, if you will, or kind of a co-branding maybe even. But I think it's a matter of not biting off more than you can chew and take that first small step. I also think then you develop your core competencies and determine what, you know, where, what do most of my clients need and where can I develop the expertise. And do I have, if I don't have enough manpower, do I hire, and what's the cost of hiring? And I think there's several resources that are out there, but I do think the tax and financial planning advisory workshop that's done at the AICPA Engage conference is a great two-day starter where you can go in and really kind of determine how I want to organize my practice, what are the areas and components I need to consider. What are some of the business models? What's the technology? What's the legal and regulatory environment look like? And it's a great avenue where you can go in and get organized and start this process. But I think, you know, small steps, again, focus on where your core passion is and then develop that expertise. And I think a lot of people that got into the business, and myself included, we kind of developed a niche area. Where you could be an expert, with maybe it's on stock option planning, or maybe it's estate planning, or you know, a technique that you're very good at, and then you kind of build around that, and then you broaden your expertise as your passion develops, and build the practice from within, and that convert that tax practice into more of a tax and financial advisory practice.
Great, Chris. What baby steps might you suggest?
Well, the first step. Would be to build your knowledge, expertise, and establish some credibility as a CPA financial planner. I think a good step to do that is obtaining the personal financial specialist credential, but just build yourself up first and get the knowledge. Second would be to get your team on board. Not everybody in your CPA practice is going to be on board with financial planning. There's a lot of people in my practice and throughout my career that have just they're just concerned about pumping out tax returns, and that, you know, integrating financial planning would be like a departure from the firm's business model. So I through my career, I've got some pushback trying to roll out financial planning services. If you're a sole practitioner, it's not that big of a deal, but at that point you need to build out a team because you can't do everything yourself. There's a sort of a triumvirate of financial planning. That's the financial advisor, the CPA, and the attorney. You know, by expanding your CPA practice into financial planning, you're kind of attempting to wear two of those hats, and that's fine. But, you know, I wouldn't recommend wearing all three. You're at least going to need a good attorney on board to help draft some documents and do some of the legal services. It's even a good idea to have some other CPAs and financial advisors on tap that you can reach out to when you might encounter an area where you lack competence to serve the client. So, build out a team and then define your service offerings, you know, figure out what it is you want to offer, whether it's comprehensive services or something more limited in scope. You know, financial planning is a very broad term. There's a lot of things that fall under that umbrella. It is tied to what your client supports. You know, do you have a client base that supports retirement planning or college planning? My client base doesn't have a lot of college planning. They're more concerned about how to give their assets away than how to accumulate them. And so figure out what it is you're doing, define that, and then get in front of your tax clients and try to communicate your value proposition and just, you know, get in front of as many people as possible.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Scott. I'm really looking forward to hearing more from both of you at the two-day event that we do at Engage. So I'm sure there's a lot more thoughts that you guys didn't have time to get in today. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Ted Saremski. If you enjoyed this podcast, I highly encourage you to join us at the Building a Tax and Financial Planning Advisory Business Workshop and visit the Planning and Tax Advisory Services Hub at aicpa.org/grow-advisory-services to learn more about the why, the what, and the how. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.